For March the 18th, 2022, we talk about Valheim and as much Elden Ring as we can without spoiling things or stepping on Bonfireside Chat's toes. Welcome to Level 406. My name is Cole Ross.
I'm David Mindsmith.
And I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. We are rocking it three style tonight. I'm not going to say it. I don't want to curse the episode. In the past, when somebody has said, oh, this will be a short one, it ends up being a long one. And I'm not going to say
I will predict. I'll be bold and beautiful. This is going to be a short episode.
Okay. Well, you doomed us all.
I have one game. You have one game. The multiplayer is going to be weird because we're answering a question that was asked on a different week by a person who's not here. But...
True.
So, yeah. Yes.
See, David's trying to stretch for time now to prove me wrong.
Oh my gosh. And I also don't have like an awful lot of like anecdote at the beginning. Like all I've got on my mind is I've got a new computer on the way, which is real exciting. Ooh, yeah.
That's awesome. What kind of graphics card?
So it's the M1 Max. It's an Apple Studio or a Mac Studio is what I ordered.
Yeah, that's it. Okay.
Yeah. And I sprung for the extra like overall memory. So it has 64 gigs of shared memory, which is the most you can get on that chip without moving up to their like crazy expensive one. That's as powerful as like four Mac Pros glued together. But it's fluid. So it has as much video memory as it needs up to 64. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I forgot it was a Mac when I asked that question originally, and it's like, okay, yeah, everything will be integrated and fine and up to snuff. So
in the past it would have been like, oh yeah, I ordered the, you know, because if it was a Mac Pro, you could get different like Radeon cards, you know, put mm-hmm. into it. But I've got that coming, and I've got two of the studio monitors coming, and I'm real excited to have new toys because I've had the same computer for several years now, and it's a little bit long in the tooth, and embarrassingly I have never had a machine where the main drive on it was a solid state.
When was the last time you got a new computer?
Last time I got a new computer, I got the new PC I think in 2019.
Okay.
So but that's for playing games and streaming on. This is the production machine.
Okay.
For editing and video and stuff.
So I'm just throwing it out there. If your machine is getting long in the tooth, that's a warning sign. Machines should not have teeth.
I mean, it was just a small hole at first, but then it started growing bigger. Then it started whispering for me to like feed it stuff. I've had to keep Dottie away because, I mean, it snapped at her a couple of times.
I think Dottie could take it.
Dottie could take it. She's on my shoulder right now. Hey, Dottie. Are you a good girl? Yeah, she just wants, she's enamored. Dottie seeks out water bottle caps. she loves the damn things. Here, let me clear a space for you so you can sit. Here's a space. No, you're going to go behind the monitor? Okay, whatever. Anyway, Ben, how are you?
I'm doing pretty well. I said this before the episode, but I hosted dinner at my place on Sunday night, so I was happy about that. That's always a stress test to the number of like utensils and plates I have in my place. So,
yeah.
But made it through seamlessly, so that was all good. Made some conies, which is from like Cincinnati, so that was like a nice reminder of home. Mm-hmm. And I had a pie, coincidentally for Pie Day, which was yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
But... yeah,
neat. Did you do a homemade coney sauce, or did you order in some?
It's called like a Genovese sauce. It's like an onion based meat sauce kind mm-hmm. of. But it's a shit ton of onions, but it makes it really like sweet and savory. So
nice,
super good.
Had your guests had conies before?
Yeah, they were all from Cincinnati, so that was part of the reason why I made that as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Now, I, you know, I've lived alone pretty much ever since I left college. And it only recently did I decide, all right, I'm not going to get rid of, you know, utensils and dishes and stuff. But there is no reason for me to have six place settings of plates and silverware here.
Yeah.
So I put those in a hard to reach cabinet. And instead, I am rocking with three of each vessel. Three plates, three small plates and three bowls.
Honestly, like the grandparent method kind of makes sense. Like have fine china stuffed in some drawer somewhere that you bring out when guests come over, but the rest of the time just be efficient, you know?
Yeah. You know, and that way there's less for it to pile up, you know? So, mm-hmm. And if someone comes over, you just pull the stuff out, give it a rinse, and mm-hmm. you're fine.
Word.
Yeah. David, how are you doing?
You know, I'm bobbing and weaving.
Of course.
I'm excited that spring is coming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the spring forward a few days ago, it's actually late now.
Oh, it's wonderful. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the sun only just went down here. And I am fully given over. I'm basically some kind of weird, depressive werewolf. Insofar as my mood is governed, everything about me is governed by the movement of the stars, including the sun.
Oh, so, yeah. No, I am definitely right there with you.
Yeah. No. So I am also very excited for spring. We're not even all the way to the days getting longer. So we got lots more sunlight coming.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think in Seattle, you just learn to like stifle that, or you just try and choke that out as much as possible. But when it's finally like light out, you can be like, yeah, I'm human again. I'm gonna go outside. This is great.
I thought in Seattle, you just drank your problems away.
I wouldn't suggest doing that.
Don't do that. But B, I don't want to go off on too many tangents, but they don't make any good stouts in this Pacific Northwest area, and that's something that I'm a little bit saddened by. Or it's hard to find, rather.
I thought Rogue had some good stouts.
That the places in the world that, like, during winter will have, you know, like 24-hour night or whatever, have significantly higher instances of alcoholism than the rest of the world.
That definitely accounts for that is the explanation that I've heard for like drinking habits in like Wisconsin, you know. And you know, it's not just the thing. If you read accounts from people who have gone and lived and worked on Antarctic research bases, people there drink like fish. There's something atmospheric that people think explains, you know, why you get drunk so much faster there, something about elevation or whatever. But yeah, just, you know, if you're in Antarctica, sometimes that's what you have to do.
So I know when I went to Florida Keys like last summer, and they have an expression called the Keys disease there, because people like fall into alcoholism there because everyone's just kind of like on a boat, like drinking all the time. Huh. So like in terms of the US, you just don't want to go too far north or too far south. You just want to stay right in the middle, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I feel like that's a lesson that humanity should have learned, you know, a couple epochs ago or whatever. Mm-hmm.
I think people are just going to drink and have problems regardless of where they're at. And sometimes there are post hoc explanations for it.
Mm-hmm. That's fair too.
Yeah.
I mean, what has the hawk ever done for me?
We have outlived the need for the hawk. I think that is our banter. I think we can talk about games. Why don't we talk about games on a regular kind of show? What with the grind, the multiplayer, and the end boss? And we can get started with...
The Grind.
The Grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the last period of time or so. Ben, I'm going to ask you to go first.
All right. I'm not going to have a lot to talk about, but the main game that I've been playing the past week is I've continued playing Valheim, and I've continued playing that a lot. So I think where I was at last week was I was in like starting to get into the third biome, but probably getting killed a lot. Mm-hmm. I've like pretty much mastered the third biome now. I'm moving on to the fourth one, which is like the second to last. I feel pretty comfortable there. I'm still getting killed a few times, so it's a little bit annoying, but I'm kind of getting my ground set up. I'm building a second base in like the fourth biome in an area that I found that has like maybe three or four of the more advanced biomes around it. So so I've been working on that. Me and the person I'm playing with it on the server, we beat the fourth boss, so there's only one boss left. And there's only, I think, one biome after the one that I'm in left. But even that, I'm not even sure if it's fully developed with respect to the game. It's it's like the name of the biome is like the Misty Waters or the Misty Seas or something like that. Mm-hmm. So you just can't see anything. So I don't even know if anything's there or not.
Okay.
I don't know if anything's there or not, or if it's just like, hey, this is going to be the edge of the world because we haven't made anything here yet. So enjoy.
Yeah. We have been told
gods must be crazy.
We have been told not to go to the unfinished lands.
Yeah. But that game is still pretty satisfying. I guess with the latest boss beat, a new like tech tree opens up for you. But I couldn't really do anything with the new tech tree because it all requires resources in the biome that I'm just building a base in now. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what prompted me to start to look for and build a new place. But it's an interesting game. Like, one of the things they do that's kind of like, I'm not sure how I feel about it, but they have this sort of artificial difficulty in the game where they allow you to build portals in the game to be able to jump, you know, fast travel between points in the world, mm-hmm. but they'll make some of the resources not be able to travel through the portals. So like any sort of ore or metal, you're not allowed to fast travel with it.
Is that to stop you from like just building one base and settling there?
I think so. I think that's part of it. I think it's to force you to go on more kind of like adventures and like boat sailing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm not sure how I feel about it. Cause they should force you to do that sort of thing in some way. It's a really cool experience. Like, in your case, you're not like stocking up a bunch of stuff. Cause if you pull a Dennis and sink your boat, you lose all your stuff or it makes it hard to get it back. So instead what I do is literally put all my stuff at my base and then just go in my boxer shorts on a boat and then go to like the other end of the world. And if I live, like I'll have enough supplies to make a portal and then do that and then be able to portal back. And then I kind of connect two areas and then come back with like armor and stuff like that. So it's good to force people to do that because that part's really a fun part of the game is like exploring, seeing what the map's like since it's procedurally generated. And like that discovery is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
But it is like, and then again, I don't know how I feel about this, but it causes you to make these sort of like big plans of like, okay, I need to like pack this boat filled with this ore and just do a single trip of like sailing since it takes so long. So you have to kind of make these like long-term plans of like what I'm doing right now is, or what I was going to do was I was mining a mountain for a bunch of resources and like setting up a bunch of chests around there and eventually going to like transport these like one at a time to a boat when I could figure out where the boat could be nearest to the mountain. Mm-hmm. But instead I'm just building a base there instead and just like just moving it there. And then I'm just going to keep everything there because it's easier to just keep a base where the resources are instead of moving the resources to where your old base is.
Instead of working up logistics.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. So that part's like an interesting complication. I don't know how well thought out it was or if it was intentional or not. But that kind of makes for kind of more interesting, like long-term strategies. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, it's mostly just like a base builder game. You know, it's like, it's a similar vibe as like what you're doing in Subnautica when you're not doing mission type stuff is it's like, I want to, you know, make a pretty garden in here and, raise fish in this aquarium or something like that.
Yeah.
So
it's the raft alike.
The Raft alike? Yeah. That game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Similar vibes as that as well. So
nice.
Yeah.
Is there anything? So is there story content that is pushing you out to different biomes, or is it just kind of natural? Like I've hit the limit of, you know, the things I can make or the kind of accoutrement that I can, you know, produce for my base. And I need to find new resources and that brings me outward. Like, how do they motivate pushing you outward?
Yeah, the narrative's like pretty sparse, so that's not like it's mostly like text boxes with like you get dropped off by a bird and then there's like a raven that appears and will talk to you whenever you unlock some sort of new tech. Like the first time you build a shield, he'll like say something to you. The first time you build a weapon, etc.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like a strong narrative. I mean, I think at the beginning of the game when you get dropped on, hey, it's similar to Shadow of the Colossus. Like, hey, there's these five bosses, go kill them or something like that. Mm-hmm. And each time you win a boss battle, like you do have like their remains, like a head or something like that, and you like stick it on a pillar. And so there's like a sense of progression there. Mm-hmm. But really, what's it's more seamless than that. Usually what you're doing is you're just trying to master a biome that you're in. And so like whatever biome you're in, they do a good job of differentiating them and kind of making like their own thing there. So like in the mountain, you do a lot of digging down in the ground and mining for ore, which you haven't really done in other biomes. Mm-hmm. Like in the forest, you're mostly like foraging and like looking for like mushrooms or blueberries, things like that, because you can craft things with them, and then there's like things you can kill in the night. Swamp is its own thing, where it's like just a very depressive atmosphere and like everything's terrible, and it's just like a miserable experience, but that's like kind of the intention of it, so it's like well done in that sense. Mm-hmm. But usually with the boss battles are kind of like integrated in the sense where when you're in some sort of dungeon in any of these biomes, you'll find a sign in some of these dungeons, like a red placard. And when you do that, it'll show the location of it in the world. Hmm. And it's randomly placed. So like the earlier ones might be on the land that you start on. It might be like pretty close by. Mm-hmm. But like with the latest one, for example, it's on the complete other end of the map. And so it's like, okay, so if we want to eventually do this, we need to start exploring in that direction, and right. It kind of slowly pushes you there. But once you master like a biome that you're in, like you know, like you're one-shotting all the people there, then it's like appropriate time to go face the boss. And then that kind of moves you into the next tier and then like the next sort of challenge. So yeah. That part they've done really well is they've found a good game design where the difficulty is kind of like bottled and like, this is the tech you get in this area. This is what you can max it out to be. So by the time you get there, this area is easy. The next area will be a little bit hard based on that max out tech from this area. So they do a really good job of balancing that sort of thing out. But
Is this a game that has like infinite world size the way that Minecraft does?
Or? No, it is it's a circle. It's a giant circle.
Okay.
So I haven't been to the edge in any direction. I'm kind of close to it where I am. And that's where I started seeing like the misty regions. So that's why I'm just guessing those could be at the world's end, but I'm not sure. So I might find that out, but I don't know.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
But it still remains a very pretty game, a very pleasant sort of game if you like base builders. It's definitely a lot easier if you have like a server with friends. Mm-hmm. Because then, you know, it's like if you die, someone can help get your body back so you don't have to kind of like trudge along. I had a setback that was very sad where I had traveled a long way, set up a portal. This is where I was going to set up my second base. Thing kills me, which is fine. And then I go back through the portal to try and get my stuff. And then I get killed. And then the portal gets killed because I was standing right next to it right as I came out of it.
So So it undid your work.
So I have to make the entire trek again, but in my boxer shorts and through the mountains. So yeah, but that's a bummer. But despite that type of stuff, it's still a pretty fun game. So
nice. Any big plans for your next base?
There's a giant stone pillar in the plains area that I'm in. They kind of look like the ship from Arrival, if you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
That movie. Yeah. So there's a bunch of stone pillars like that. So I'm going to build a base on top of one of those.
Nice. How do you get up there?
Build stairs.
Okay. Just the normal way. The way people have been getting up there forever.
Yeah. You can build like stairs and floors and stuff to the side of things like this. And mm-hmm. so, but yeah, it does require a weird, like you kind of have to build scaffolding and then build the thing you actually want to build. So it is kind of weird, but yeah, you can eventually do that.
Nice.
Yep.
Not bad. I don't know that I have any other questions about Valheim. It sounds neat. You've done a good job of selling it.
it's definitely fun. I don't know how I haven't been trying to sell it to anyone because it's like, hey, do you want to play a game that, you know, like it's similar to an MMO, but it's not that bad as far as like you have to invest all the time if you want to play it, I guess. But,
Yeah. Makes sense.
Anyway, cool.
Yeah. Did you have anything else?
That's all I got.
Oh, guys, I think this is going to be a short one.
Yes.
Short one's fine. David, how about you?
Sure. I've just been playing the same two things, Idle Champions and Elden Ring.
Okay.
in Idol Champions, probably the two big things. I unlocked there's a mission Split the Party.
Okay.
Which it's, you basically have to complete this really difficult mission where you have to get to the 50th round of this level, but every like, I don't know, like 12 rounds or so, half of your party is randomly like removed and isn't available for the rest of the game.
Okay.
And the narrative justification is like, you're trying to like say like help this village and you're off, fighting whoever is invading, and then you hear like, oh, there's some orcs also invading, so some people have to go back to defend the village and like stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But basically once you do this, you get the ability to run two adventuring teams at once.
Okay.
So it's kind of interesting because, for basic farming, being able to do two things at once is, much more efficient. But the more cool thing is you unlock what they call Modron automation.
Oh, yeah. The Modrons, the mechanical elementals from the Plane of Order. Yeah.
Right, exactly. So you basically, you get a Modron core and you can hack it, which it takes the form of the classic pipe game. And by doing that, by directing the pipes to different, locations, you can basically upgrade different stats on your party.
Okay.
And then there's a progression with it, so you can, in various ways, earn Modron chests that give you more of these pipe puzzle pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, some of them give bonuses, that sort of thing. The other thing, though, is you get the ability to set it up where it will automatically reset a run once it reaches a certain round and like load up a certain configuration of party, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So like right now I have one of my parties just running up to round 75 and then resetting, just basically to earn currency for me to fund my actual primary party where I'm actually, going and doing new things.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's pretty fun. Just kind of continues being what it is. So that's cool.
Nice.
Probably more interesting is I'm continuing on with Elden Ring.
Elden Ring is a good video game. At least that's my opinion. I want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, so I can't think. Last time when we spoke, had I beaten Mott?
Oh, had you beaten Margit? Or
Margit, yes.
Yeah, no, you hadn't beaten Margit. I don't think you had beaten Margit. I think that you had done what a lot of people do, which is hit. It's what I did. You hit him and then bounced off and then went to do other stuff.
Yeah, so I finally beat Margit, and cool. Then I've started exploring kind of the little castle thingies he's guarding, but also kind of bounced off that.
Okay.
So I've, basically went back to just, exploring the countryside, being a murder hobo.
Of course. Which direction have you gone?
Predominantly north. So I've been exploring, there's kind of the lake region,
yeah,
that has all the spellcastery people.
Yeah, Liurnia of the Lakes. Yeah.
Right. So I've been exploring that a lot, and then some of the, dragon area.
Dragon area. I'm trying
like the... Dragon Barrows or something. It's
oh shit. So north of Caelid, you've been going up there.
Right, exactly. So I feel like one of the things that's maybe relevant to say, and I don't think this is a spoiler because like it's kind of this is the thing that exists in this like, you know, 100 square mile area. Mm-hmm. There's a couple of teleporters.
Yes.
And so you can like find one of these things and just end up on like the other side of the map.
How was the moment when you realized like when that happened or when you like when you stretched out and then you went to your map and are like, oh god, what I thought was this entire game was actually 1/8 of the playable area?
Right, exactly.
So I feel bad for laughing when you said, oh, I've explored most of the map. Remember last week I went
yeah, like yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to take that away from you. But yeah. So you found the teleporter that took you up to the Dragon Barrow.
Yeah.
That's an end game area. Like
oh,
that's
really?
Yeah, that's late mid game. You're not supposed to be up there yet.
Okay. So that's also though like one of the main low level farming spots.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a oh shit. It's the boulder, right?
So the one I'm thinking of, it's the, was it the, like, militiamen or something?
Yeah, I mean, that is not the one that I heard about, but I would believe it.
Yeah, so it's basically their whole thing, they're pretty high damage, but low health, so you can just, like, backstab them and run.
Yeah.
yeah, it's...
Practice bobbing and weaving.
Exactly. I think my favorite biome so far I've found is the kind of the fire area, which I'm assuming is also fairly end game.
It's mid game, I think, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, that's kind of fun. The other thing that I find funny is apparently a common like trap in this game now is teleportation gas.
Yep.
Wait, what?
I mean, just so I imagine once people heard that we were talking about Elden Ring, they were kind of down for a little bit of spoiler stuff. And this is also just a thing. Sometimes if you open a chest, there will be just gas will come out and then you wake up somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I guess that idea was pretty much entirely summed up by the phrase teleportation gas, but it is very strange. That was the first teleporter trap that I found. It was one that took me to a very definitively endgame area.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, the first instance of that I found is, there's a, recurring Souls character.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I feel like, at least in my opinion, so I've only seen him, I'm not sure I ever got far enough to see him in Dark Souls 1, and I haven't played 2, so I've only seen him in 3 and Bloodborne,
mm-hmm.
but at least so far, I think this is my favorite version of that character.
It's pretty good.
And I really love the super thirsty fan art that has... come from this.
Yeah, they have fans.
It's really really weird. But yeah, so I'm pretty much just running around. My biggest accomplishment recently is I unlocked the basic katana,
yes.
Which I could have just started as the samurai class, but I didn't, so you have to, you know, get in a dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
And
what class are you, David?
I'm playing as the Vagrant Knight.
Yeah, that's what I started as well.
Yeah, and that's kind of the, like, most stereotypical Dark Souls, like, knight-type dude with a shield.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm trying to play through more of a, like, dodging thing, so, you know, not using a shield.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been mixed. I'm tending to out DPS my enemies more than I'm actually doing like clutch dodges. So I don't know. And I'm doing a arcane, so the bleeding build.
Yeah, and that's a damn fine way to do a lot of damage at once. So much so that I'm worried that they're going to nerf it. I have a similar build. I'm using the Uchigatana right now.
Yeah.
I have it spec'd to be keen, and I'm dabbling in sorcery.
Yeah, yeah. I like that it seems like they've made the build variety a little bit bigger this time around.
Yeah.
And I've noticed there's more weapons that are seem to be intended for unusual stats.
Yeah. They've got I mean, so many weapons in the game, but like, yeah, they do have ones that honor particular different different builds or different stat combos. Yeah. Can I make you a recommendation?
Sure.
You might end up having a better time if you go south of Limgrave.
Okay.
Yeah. That would be my recommendation, especially if you're bouncing off Stormveil. Going to the places where you are, like, you're probably leveling pretty quickly, but also like getting housed, just straight up getting wrecked by people. it's a place called the Weeping Peninsula. Has some good places to go.
Okay, yeah, I'll check that out.
Yeah.
I think my prized possession so far is I've got a helm that is the head of the little like stone goblin things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm definitely running around like cosplaying as a kobold.
Nice. I hate those little guys, the way they climb down from the walls and slice you and poison you.
Yeah, it's there are definitely, so at least so far I have not seen any like overtly annoying enemies other than maybe the dragonfly, but there are definitely a lot of very nasty enemies.
Yeah. No, and just like those imps, the basic imps that you would find in the kind of early game, like the catacombs and Limgrave, the fact that they climb down from the walls makes you think like, okay, there are two of them in front of me that I can take out and that'll be fine and good. And you're not noticing, or I didn't notice until I realized to be on the lookout for it. They are probably five more climbing down from the walls and surrounding me while I'm dealing with the first two.
Yeah, the kind of balancing mitigating factor on that is that because they are gargoyles and often are trying ambush tactics, if they aren't on the walls, they will often let you straight up walk up to them and attack you.
Yeah.
Because they're waiting for you to let down your guard. So they're really easy to backstab, but only if you see them first.
Right. Yeah. Quite a few times, just straight up do, and then bam, stabbed right as I'm walking by them.
Yep. Exactly. It's definitely, those are one of the, more fun enemies that I've experienced so far.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm enjoying seeing the degree to which people are using the message system entirely to make juvenile jokes.
Yeah. some of them are fun. Like the first couple times you see them, but then it's like, come on, guys. Stop saying finger, comma, butthole, please, you know, something like that. I like the ones, my favorite version of that is, so people have taken to like, just a like a meme has popped up where every animal is a dog.
Yes, so, is this a dog?
Yeah, a dog ahead. Just like, it is so useless. I mean, just farcically, like, there's some animal NPCs, clearly not dogs, and it says praise the dog. Like, just the fact that this has popped up is just kind of like a natural joke that everybody seems to be in on is just real charming. That is the kind of innocent, good fun that I can get into, not this try jumping nonsense.
Yeah, that's That and the like
illusory
secret
wall
passage
ahead.
Secret
pass ahead. Hate that. Hate it when people do that. Come on.
Yeah, it's especially weird because I have eventually found a couple, but those are so incredibly rare.
Yeah. So
you were saying last week you can filter, right? Where it's like you could get messages just from the DuckFeed community?
Yes. So you can use, it's in the multiplayer menu. You can sign on to a group password. The password is Flock, capital F-L-O-C-K. And that will prioritize and highlight messages left by people who listen to the shows. And those have generally never steered me wrong.
That's nice.
Yeah. So yeah. That would be my recommendation. If I see a secret path ahead from somebody who is in the group, then I know that I can trust it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I have eventually found two invisible walls, so they do exist. But...
I was shocked as hell when I found one, because there have been so many false goes, I'd given up hope that they even existed in the game.
Yeah.
I have one question. Maybe you guys can explain this, because this is something I've seen where you can, like, turn into a bush or a statue.
Yeah.
How does that work? Is that class-specific, or...
There are spells that let you do it, but there are also items. Those are meant entirely for PvP.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as I know, there is no, I mean, in past games, so that's not like a new thing for this. And, you know, as far as I know, there is no PvE use for it. But yeah, it is meant for tricking enemies, tricking actual people, hiding them on the scenery. And there are fun prank videos like people have done. It is a neat trick to do.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
So the one thing that does kind of bother me right now is the whole Knights of the Round Table area.
Oh, not the hub, because it's not connected to anything, but it's like your Firelink, the kind of the central.
The unhub.
Right.
So if you like jump down from the balcony there, you get like invaded, by a phantom or whatever.
Yeah. A really tough one.
Yeah. And I managed to kill it, but I was kind of disappointed because I go up and I'm like with all the other NPCs. I'm like, so we got to talk about that.
We going to talk about the murder clown downstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, you get an item for that, but I forget what it is. It wasn't anything that would have like made or broken a build that I had. So,
yeah. So there's the enemy itself. You get the it's like the ability to call in extra invaders or something. It's something like that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then I think there's also actually a really nice, except that this isn't my spec, but a really nice, intelligence scaling weapon, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah. That's all I've really got, just kind of continuing rampaging across the countryside.
Yeah. No, I mean, it sounds like you've got your role on.
Yep.
Yeah. I feel bad because I don't have anything again, because all I've been doing, all of my discretionary time has been dedicated to Elden Ring. So, and really all I feel comfortable talking about is what I've spoken about with you, but I'm, far in the game, but not as far as I would like to be at this point.
Have you started thinking about your second playthrough already of like, oh, I want to try this class out the next go around?
Yes. Okay. I have started thinking about those.
Can you say what class it is?
I want to, do like a, mess around with the faith casting, stuff specifically. Okay. That's where the pyromancy, lives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And like, there are a lot of stats, like status effects in this game, and, you know, status effects have always been stackable on enemies. I'm curious, because that unlocks a handful of new things. So I want to mess with these like heretical fire kind of spells. So yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. I think I think it'll be fun. I'm real curious about it. But yeah, just so many possibilities, and God, I just there's so many parts of the map that I haven't unlocked, haven't uncovered, and, you know, whole regions that you can see from just an incredible distance, knowing I'm going to go there sometime. Yeah,
it is. I was impressed by like the variance of the classes that you can choose in the game, like, because yeah. I haven't, like, the fact that they have a samurai's class or whatever is probably built in from their previous game, right, where they already, like, understand how samurai work, I guess, from that. And so it's cool to like kind of build like a real wide variety of like what you can, how you can start out in the game. Like, that seems appealing.
And what's super nice about classes in Souls games, and this is no it is no different, what's neat is classes are just a starting point, you know, like it just determines your starting stats and your starting loadout, so like what gear you have, things like that. So yeah, I'm way into just the variety that they offer at the beginning there. You know, and it's fun to see, because, like, I don't know, they have cool stuff. Like, the caster isn't exactly what you think it would be. You know, it's not named what you think it would be, and it's not and definitely doesn't look like a caster. Same thing there. So, like, it's a way for them to communicate peculiarities of the world, because people, you know, they're not classes, they're backgrounds is what they're called. And so you play it, and you are able to just kind of see, like, okay, yeah, this is a person. Like, people who do this come from a particular place, and you will end up going there over the course of the game, most likely. Yeah.
The thing, and this has been in a lot of the Soulsborne games that I've always kind of been interested in and wish they would get more into, is some of the just like bonkers effectively starting ethnicities.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, like there's one in this one that is just like pure white skin, like not like peachy, like real world white people skin, like like vampire looking shit.
White, like marble.
Yeah. And like, I'm sure there's a backstory there, but I the equivalents in previous Souls games were never really explained. I don't know if they are in this game, but
yeah.
Not that it necessarily matters all that much, but I just always wondered about some of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some of those from what I remember. We're going to be recording about the kind of the basics of the game and the opening, and I'm looking forward to getting back in, because, like, I haven't seen the opening cutscene since I saw, you know, played it on launch day, and I have so much more context for just the bonkers parade of bizarre creatures that they bandied about there. So I'm curious to see that. And I'm also curious to reevaluate what the starting stuff is, because I was just kind of stabbing blind and not really, you know, didn't have anything to hold on to grasp onto when I was looking at the choices.
Yeah, one of the things that, kind of like you, I haven't had enough time to really form a thought around or like really analyze. But it seems like the myth traditions that they're pulling from seem slightly different this time around.
Yeah, it feels kind of more explicitly Norse, as opposed to being pulled from like a weird amalgam of mostly D&D type stuff.
Right, and it seems like there's also, I'm seeing a lot of Norse, and it seems like a lot of more explicitly like Christian references in term, which kind of ended up in Bloodborne, but I felt like the Bloodborne thing was just like kind of the, you know, it was Castlevania Christianity,
It was brought over aesthetically because of because it's of the Gothic tradition kind of stuff. It's real hard. It's real hard to do Gothic stuff without cathedrals and a church, you know?
Right. But it seems like this time around, they're maybe channeling some of the like saints legends and stuff like that from like medieval stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that is the exact nature of George R. R. Martin's involvement in the story has kind of been released. So what happened is instead of like consulting on every single thing that went, they just told George R. R. Martin, like, hey, here's vaguely what we want to happen in the game. And can you write us like a short story or like a novella? Oh, okay. That we can pull like specifics, you know, specifics from. So that's how you end up with like the pantheons of, you know, if not gods, then demigods who, you know, seem to have like a really torturous family relationship, at least if the opening cinematic is to be believed, and kind of the, right. like, you know, the foundational, the origin myth, for all this stuff. You can kind of see all of that kind of laid out, as it's playing to, you know, playing from his, genuinely good ability to just write a shitload of good lore, good evocative lore about different kingdoms and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there different, I forget what they're even called, but like the joinable factions?
You know what? I have no idea how the game does factions. There have been plenty of places where it's like, do you wish to work with me? And I require these particular items for, you know, for what my religion demands or whatever, but like it has not been laid out as a faction or a covenant for any of those, at least explicitly to me yet. There could be more waiting for me later on, but
because the one just completely dumb like Soulsborne, I don't know, gimmick motif, I don't know what you'd call it, that I haven't seen yet that I kind of hopes in the game is like the random, like, hey, you want to ally with the Cheshire Cat? Or, like, hey, you want to be bros with the rat people?
Why not?
Just, like, I want to be friends with a large anthropomorphic animal that I probably shouldn't be friends with.
Just a real, real bad element, bad influence on you.
Yep.
Anything else about Elden Ring?
Nope, that's all I got.
All right. Multiplayer. Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. This is a question put up by Dennis, though he is not here. This was also put up a couple weeks ago because of a mix-up. So I will read the question and then the first response. What video game reference or in-joke do you wish was universally known so you could use it in conversation without worry of confusing people? And we get started here with Greg, who says, I wish Kefka from Final Fantasy VI was better known outside of gaming circles. Not only is he a great bad guy, but I could insult so many people by saying things like, you're a real Kefka, you know that? Or stop thinking like a Kefka and actually give a damn about your employees. Or some people just want to watch the world burn. They got inspired to try to outdo Kefka, clearly. Yeah, I was going to say, you can definitely sub in the Joker for Kefka, and you would be mostly fine. Both of them are murder clowns. Sounded like there was going to be a second thing, but that's all you need. But Kefka
that's
got
the
results.
Main commonality.
Yeah. Kefka got results is the problem. Kefka did end the world.
Are there any like bat inspired enemies that face down Kefka, though?
Not who face him down. He has some really annoying bats in his tower in Final Fantasy VI, but
okay, so this is the alternate universe where the Joker, you know, allied with the bats. All right, I'm following.
Oh man. David, what does Callum say?
Callum says, my nerd group has adopted the saying, fat happy, from the ogre in Baldur's Gate that asks you to come back when he is fat happy. He slips out with general public after eating too much fairly often.
See, that's one where you wouldn't really need, you wouldn't need the context to get it, is the thing. Somebody can hear fat happy and like understand kind of what is being said without knowing the Baldur's Gate reference.
Are you invalidating this person's answer?
No, I'm no. I no. What I'm saying is, people would probably like they would say, "Oh, like in Baldur's Gate, that'd be good." But I think that this has utility for Gen Pop. You know, so it is useful on a couple of different kind of valences, let's say.
I had not heard this expression before or this reference before, so I am not fat, but I'm happy to know that it exists.
Yeah. Let's see, Ben, what does Thomas say?
Thomas says, from the Dark Souls games, I wish I could always say, "Don't give up, skeleton," as a way to cheer people up.
With how popular Elden Ring has gotten, you may be able to do that, because there are definitely don't give up, skeleton messages that I have seen.
Oh, I have missed that one.
Yeah. It's there. They keep a lot of the memes, although you cannot put down a message that says praise the sun, which is an oversight. I've just replaced that with praise the bird because of, you know, duck feed and the flock password and stuff.
Yeah, that seems legit.
Yeah. Let's see. Sean says, another Dark Souls favorite, praise the sun. I say it way too often when something positive happens and people have no idea what I'm going on about. Yeah. And if somebody asked, you could say, "Oh, it's a thing from a fantasy book." Yeah, just if you were interested in hiding the fact that it's from a game. Yeah, I'm here to give strategies, you know. let's see, David, what does Ian say?
Ian says, one of my favorite Final Fantasy Tactics quotes to use during a board game match. Unfortunately, it didn't even make it into the War of the Lions remake. And he posts a screenshot. The quote is, "Tough, don't blame us, blame yourself or God."
Way to be cruel. Yeah, that's Delita saying that to Ramza as he kidnaps the princess. Yeah. Oh man, Final Fantasy Tactics is good. It's a good game. The last one here is not a video game one, but it is a movie one. It is Jeremy is saying, not a game, but a movie. And it's the Black Knight from, Monty Python and the Holy Grail. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mine is a thing from a game, but mostly it is also a thing from a YouTube, a particular YouTube video about a game. There's something wrong with the toilet. In Hitman, the 2016 version, there's a level that takes place mostly in a hotel. One of the ways you can get a disguise from the hotel service staff is to call down to the desk and say, "Hey, I got a problem here. My toilet's broken." You can sabotage the toilet or not in order to make it real. But the person comes up and you get them alone and you choke him out. Then you take his clothes and you can go kill other people. There's a YouTube video. If you just do a search for Hitman, something wrong with the toilet, you will see, just say the person goes through the process. They call and then wait. The service guy comes up. He walks into the bathroom and sees just a huge pile of bodies there. I was like, "Oh no!" And before he can alert, Hitman Agent 47 kills him, and then drags him in, adds him to the pile, goes back to the phone, and says, "There's something wrong with the toilet." So, I just wish I could say that to sum up, you know, any kind of hopeless situation, pretty much, where someone is in complete control of it, you know, yeah. There's something wrong with the toilet. Look up this video. It's very good. Let's see, David, how about you?
So I think mine is actually the kind of the example given for this one. It's the you spoony bard.
Okay.
Especially because my friend group, apparently not a fan of classic classic Final Fantasy.
Okay.
But is a fan of D&D and bard characters.
Mm.
So yeah, I'm trying to explain to them you know, that there are bards and then there are spoony bards.
Yes, there's a marked difference. I'm surprised that didn't break through, because that became such a meme.
Yeah, you would think, but I don't know. And I know a lot of them are fans of what is Final Fantasy the Extended Road Trip? Which one was that?
Final Fantasy 15.
Yeah, a lot of fans of that.
Strange. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I had a hard time coming up with one, but I think it's mostly just trying to. College roommates will say back and forth, but there's one from a game, Urban Chaos, the first game from the Arkham people, where, like, your police chief goes, "Shoot the fucker, Mason," and so sometimes we'll say that to one another with little to no context. And I can't remember if the game itself had the fucker in it or if we added that, but
right.
I'm pretty sure it was in there, but who knows? It's been so long.
Yeah. But this isn't from video games. The one thing I wish, and this is just kind of found use between me and Gary, but it's there's a scene in the Venture Brothers where somebody, says, I'll give you what you're asking for as soon as you eat a dollar's worth of pennies. And everybody's just like, the guy's like, no, I'm not going to eat pennies. And everybody else in there is, come on, eat the pennies. Just eat the pennies. It goes on for a very long time. So it's like whenever there's something unpleasant somebody's refusing to do, just eat the pennies. Oh, man. So thanks, Dennis, for putting this one up. And thank you, everybody, for responding. If you'd like to participate, you can go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening in the world of video games around us that are exciting to us. I've got one. This is real simple. It is a thing that is going to exist by the time you are hearing this. The Casey's Mod expansion for Inscription will be out. It's releasing March 17th. It's been available in beta for a while. It will have all of the everything polished off. This is an extended an endless roguelike version of the cabin, the game that you play in the cabin in Inscription. It's a thing that people really clamored for, really wanted, given how the cabin game ends up having its own kind of goal and endpoint at a certain time. And so this is kind of taking it and making it kind of like a more standard, Slay the Spire-esque roguelike with some slightly less breakable combinations, and adding in some story content as well, about kind of what's going on under the surface of that game. We had covered Inscription on WoF here relatively recently. By relatively recently, I think I mean at the beginning of this month. Fuck. I'm curious and excited about this because that card game is real good.
That's interesting because I know he made like the separate game with the Hex, where it was like a conclusion was in a separate game for the first game. Mm-hmm. But it seems weird for him to do DLC since his games are kind of like so, like the lore around it and like the live action game around it or whatever seem like that takes so much work to do. So like, mm-hmm. It's interesting if this is just an add on, but then doesn't add anything to that, you know, and if it does, that's so much work. So that's crazy that that much would be in a different DLC. So,
yeah, I have no idea if it does the kind of, the wrapping narrative, kind of mm-hmm. stuff. Yeah.
But cool that it's free and that it's releasing more content. That's nice.
Yeah. No, Inscription's a good game. Play it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that to you, Ben. I know you played it. Ben, what's your story?
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, I don't know how like insular this is, but there was a streamer award show over the past weekend that was like made by streamers and for streamers. Mm-hmm. I just kind of wanted to talk about it. I thought it was interesting. I watched some of it. It felt very similar to like the Academy Awards. Okay. Production value was really good, so that part was impressive. But then also like the self-congratulatoriness of it also felt very similar to like the Academy Awards. And so that was kind of like whatever. like they already had like a legacy award in it, and you know, like, streaming is like maybe a 5-year-old profession, you know. So yeah, and then the other part that kind of like was a little bit weird was like, so this was it was organized by two different streamers, Cutie Cinderella and I forget the other person. I guess Cutie Cinderella is in a relationship with Ludwig, who like streamed a bunch, who had like set a record this last year for most subs in a month on Twitch. Mm-hmm. And then he ended up getting Streamer of the Year, which is like, you could objectively say that's fine, but it was also like kind of weird that like the person in a relationship with the person who organized it won.
Yeah, that's an apparent conflict of interest.
Yeah, and there are a couple other things like that too, where it's like top chess streamer was like given to people who were friends with them, and like top music streamer was given to someone who is friends with them instead of like someone like T-Pain or someone like Hikaru, who's like a really good chess player who happens to stream, as opposed to a good streamer who happens to play chess, sort of thing.
Huh.
So it, and that could just be like what it is like you're giving awards based on like how many people watch them, you know, and how entertaining they are, with what they're doing being secondary.
Yeah.
But it was interesting to see, like, in any case, like, it's impressive for them to try something new and do something and like and be creative in this sense.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit if there may be ulterior motives for doing it. Like, I think Cutie Cinderella, I saw a clip from her stream yesterday where she's like, I could turn this around and sell this for like $2 million next year to people based on like how many people watched it this year and stuff.
Huh.
Where it's like, okay, well, all right. So maybe it's not, you know, completely altruistic, or maybe there could be profit motives for this. But
yeah, I mean, it's an endeavor. I'm sure it costs them money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know there's kind of like a business end to all that sort of thing for any streamer. So I know that, you know, it's, you know, people can't be completely pure and like doing something, you know, completely altruistically, but
yeah.
Anyway, I thought it was an interesting kind of like first of and kind of an advancement for like streaming as a profession, and that being like becoming more similar to Hollywood, I think, you know.
Yeah.
As that kind of becomes more and more clear like year over year, because it's like these people are also like millionaires, you know, who make a lot of money. Don't care.
Right.
They put in a lot of work and they are talented. So I don't want to besmirch them in that sense. But there do seem to be some commonalities there. Yeah,
it is real funny that they have Hassan as a just chatting streamer.
Like, yeah,
come on, guys.
I mean, I do think that's more of like to Twitch than anything else, because I don't think they have a category for strictly political stuff, or maybe he just does enough non-political stuff that that's what he likes to stream in.
But, maybe.
Yeah.
This is weird. It is strange that this isn't affiliated with Twitch, yet everything kind of seems to be Twitch branded. And like, so the award, I'm scrolling down like the nominees and winners and stuff. There's one for best content organization. I'm actually really curious to go and look and see what makes this guy's content organization so much better. Like, to see if it gets to see if it's if he uses tricks. Like, I kind of want to figure out like, oh, can I organize our channel better using that?
Let me see. Is this like the one where it's like offline TV and stuff like that? Like, because these are, if it's that, that's like, that's just like kind of like companies where it's like they build a house and have like 20 people and who are streamers in the house, and like they're all under an umbrella, which is like another weird development that's happened over the past like, I don't know, 2 or 3 years.
It's
like
streamer houses.
Yeah. And like, to be fair, it's
horrible.
It's being like self-organized, like at first. Like, I know offline TV is a big one, and I think they were nominated.
Yeah.
Where it's like a group of streamers are like, hey, why don't we get together? We'll brand it as this. We'll all like live in the same place, which, you know, like that's fine. Like, I think this is weird that we're like delving so far into it, but it's like, you know, like streamers will do this where they'll buy like houses and be roommates with one another, because it's like everyone kind of has a similar schedule and there's kind of a built-in understanding.
Yeah,
but still kind of weird, you know, like, you know, if you're making $1 million, why not like get your own place or whatever?
Yeah, get an office, get a place where we go and stream. Yeah,
but it's interesting. Yeah, they're kind of like forming like guilds or like unions, you know, through these like organizations.
Huh. So I feel dumb for misinterpreting that. I was like,
No. I mean, again, like all these things are only a couple years old. So it's like, you know, they're not kind of well established yet. So that's what also makes them interesting, is they can kind of go in different directions. So,
yeah.
Yep.
Did anybody you watch end up getting any kind of honors or nominations?
I do watch Pay Money Wubby. He got nominated for two things, but he did not win either.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, I feel so disconnected from streaming culture, even though I stream, you know, not a lot compared to, you know, compared to people who do it for a living, but you know, I feel very disconnected. I feel very alienated by this.
You're an outsider, Cole. You play by your own rules.
I do play by my own rules. I'm a loner, a rebel. I almost said Dottie, but that would have gotten Dottie up here, and she gets bitey around this time of night. Hey David, what are tabletop designers doing to fight the shitty stuff that's happening in Texas?
Yeah, so
can you be more specific about the shitty stuff that's happening in Texas?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Wow. Yeah. So Texas, not cool with trans rights, which really, really sucks, is dumb. But what is cool is tabletop developers on Itch.io are getting together and selling kind of their own equivalent of the Humble Bundle.
Oh yeah, doing the bundle of there's the bundle for Ukraine, and now there's a specific tabletop version.
Well, so there's a bundle for Ukraine, and then there's also a bundle for, stuff in Texas. The one for Ukraine is kind of a grab bag of a bunch of different things. I looked through it, and there's actually a bunch of indie video games, which I didn't realize that itch.io sold.
Oh, yeah, that's primarily like an indie, it's like Bandcamp, but for indie game developers.
Right, right. See, I had only come across in context of actual like pen and paper games.
Right, right.
So, a whole bunch of things. And then the Texas one is specifically tabletop games. So, I don't know, like none of these I had heard before, but apparently there's some really good ones. I guess there's one called Wonder Home that's basically like Cottage Core Redwall.
I've heard about that. I've seen headlines about it.
Yeah. And then there's just a bunch of ones with evocative names. There's one, Thirsty Sword Lesbians.
Yep. Read about that one.
Jonathan Frakes wants your attention and you must not give it to him.
Star Trek The Next Generation's Jonathan Frakes.
So it's Jonathan Frakes of Star Trek The Next Generation, except actually a ghost.
Okay.
I really want to know if this is officially licensed, because with him, I don't think you can be sure.
I mean, if he was bummed out by people, by people making fan stuff based on him, I think that'd be kind of like trying to fight a Hydra.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah, all sorts of interesting ones. The two that caught my eye is there's one called Breakup on Reentry. Mm-hmm. That is apparently about dating in among mecha pilots during some sort of intergalactic war.
Okay.
And there's one called What's So Cool About Lucha Libre, which describes itself as a border punk pen and paper game.
Hmm.
So yeah, I don't know, like seems like some cool stuff, and you know, help fight dumb fascist stuff.
Yeah. Specifically the organizations that this is supporting, they are supporting the Transgender Education Network of Texas and Organización Latina de Trans on Texas. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, which it's good. That is definitely catering to people who really, really need it. And our hearts go out to anybody who is affected by this dipshit order that Greg Abbott put in. May he lose office and fall down an open manhole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd be that. Just very neutral. If that happened, I would not shed a tear. Yeah, and let me think here. Also, let me double check this one, as of the time we're recording, or as of the time people are hearing this, you've got like 2 weeks left to grab the tabletop one. I believe by the time this episode comes out, the Ukraine one will have ended, though they are nearing $6 million in contributions, which is much higher than their original goal, which is cool. Nice. How do you all feel about bundling it up?
Button.
The credit.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Level, abbreviated though it was. We really appreciate you taking the time. If you would like, you can support us going to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. You can go to facebook.com/thelevelpodcast. Watch for the multiplayer prompts to go up. It's a good time. And of course, ratings and reviews and telling your friends. Is there anything big that I'm forgetting?
No, but I just like that hour and a half podcast is abbreviated.
Hour 15.
Okay,
we're good.
Okay.
I was just wondering, like, what would the abbreviated level be? Would it just be like the Lev?
So I have an abbreviation for every show on the network. Just for naming files and stuff like that. The Level's abbreviation is LVL.
Okay.
Yeah. Which, I mean, it's not really inspired. I just dropped the vowels, but, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's getting some of that good cholesterol.
I liked that. Cool. Well, I've been Cole Ross. You can watch me. I've started streaming again. You can watch me on twitch.tv/duckfeedtv.
I'm David Meismith. You can chat with me in the chat room of Cole Streaming.
Yep.
And I've been Ben Merkel.
And stick around for some titles. Right. So I have two. I have Post Hawk, H-A-W-K, and The Unfinished Lands. David, what do you have?
Post Hawk is the only one I had.
Okay. Ben?
I have nothing.
Post Hawk it is. Cool. Well, I'm going to go.
Yep. Yeah,
try and fall asleep.
Evening, y'all.
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, have a good one. Have a good rest of the week. See you guys.
You too. Bye.
See ya. Peace.